1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. Paul speaking, of course, to this Corinthian, very talented, very gifted group, but also a group that needed to be instructed. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Spirit. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God who worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. We'll use this portion to begin, but we turn into a number of scriptures this morning in this message. Using our spiritual gift profitably. I take it as I look out across the audience here, I think many of you are familiar with the fact that we have spiritual gifts. We all have been given spiritual gifts. It says here in verse 11 that the Spirit gives to everyone severally as He wills. And so this is something done by the Spirit of God, by His sovereign act, by His work. It's not something of our own choosing. And we have a responsibility, of course, to share that in the local meeting. And again, with this audience, I think you would know that. However, there may be some in our assembly that do not know what their spiritual gift is, or they're seeking to find out what that is. Someone has said that it's easier for someone else, perhaps even, to know what that person's spiritual gift is than they themselves. They do things that come to them what seems to be natural, but we realize it's supernatural. God has, through His Spirit, distributed these gifts, and it's done for the building up of the church. When the Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, I will build my church, it was His intention in a future date that would happen at Pentecost, as we know, that He would build His church. But how does Christ build His church? When He says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, what did He mean? It was a future event. Again, it was future. It's not the congregation or the church in the wilderness. Certain portions of Christendom would like to think that the church was present in the Old Testament or even during the gospel accounts during the life of Christ. But Christ said, I will build my church. Well, what did He mean when He said that? How does He accomplish that? Well, He accomplishes it through the spiritual gifts that He gives to you and to me. He gives us a number of them. I'm quite convinced from that verse in verse 11 that He gives everyone several spiritual gifts. I think there is one dominant gift, perhaps, that He gives us. That's an overriding gift. You might have that gift. It was teaching or evangelism or helps or mercy, whatever it might be. But there are other supporting gifts, we might say, that are part of that, blended gifts. And so He divides to every man severally as He wills. So each one of us has been given a spiritual gift. You have been given a spiritual gift. I remember speaking on this topic, and of course the question, the person came up to me afterwards and said, I'm not quite sure I know what my spiritual gift is. And they were saying, I'm still looking to figure out what is my spiritual gift. And so again, I mentioned to this brother that I said, well, you know, some other people might even see that operating in you in the way that you work amongst the assembly. You've heard the illustration, I'm sure. Many of you probably have heard this, you know, the case of the water going across, you know, somebody spilling the water. Have you heard that illustration? Somebody was carrying the bottle of water across the meeting area, and they dropped the water. Well, how do the spiritual gifts come into effect? Well, the person who sees the water getting dropped, they have the gift of helps, right? So immediately they bend down and they start mopping up the water. Another person comes by and he has the gift of teaching. He says, well, you know, if you carried the water the right way, you wouldn't have, so let me show you how to carry the water. And the evangelist comes and says, isn't that wonderful? Just like water spread on this, we should spread the gospel all around. And, you know, each one is showing, demonstrating their perspective on how they approach the their Christian walk. They have something to contribute. Everyone has something to contribute in a local assembly. And so we have a responsibility then to make sure that we are utilizing our gift in an effective manner. And that's the title of this message here. That's the emphasis or the focus of this message. How are we to use our spiritual gift effectively? Well, again, Christ said that he will build his church, and he's going to build it through you and through me. He's done it through these spiritual gifts, so he gets the glory. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, it says, "Every man has received the gift, even so minister it as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." The Apostle Paul referred to it as a grace. Ephesians 4, 7, "But to everyone is given this grace according to the measure of the stature of Christ," the measure of the gift of Christ, rather. So gifts are given for the building up of the church. And then, of course, that great portion that we read, he gave some apostles, Ephesians again, and prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, that they might perfect the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. For what reason? That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro with every sleight of hand, every wind of doctrine. So the idea is to demonstrate our spiritual gifts, our love for Christ, by serving his church and then exercising spiritual gift in the assembly. What do we want to say about this? Well, look at with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and the verses that are found in 4, 5, and 6. What we come away with on that is this, that the Spirit controls, distributes, apportions, gives a location and the strength for all our gifts. Here the Apostle Paul is explaining these Corinthian believers who came out of a pagan background, who are subject to the influences of false teaching and spirits that were having control of them. And he talks about this in the previous verse, actually, verse 3. "Wherefore I give unto you understand, no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Spirit." There might have been those in the meeting who made it look like they were very in touch with the God of heaven, but they were actually cursing the Lord. And the Apostle Paul had to straighten them out and say, no one can call Jesus Lord except by the Spirit of God. But then he talks about the three different things here in verses 4, 5, and 6. He says there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. In other words, there are different gifts. The Scriptures give us at least 19, maybe some have counted 20 or 21 gifts, divided into two different portions. There are the sign gifts used in the first century to validate the gospel of Christ. Then there are the serving gifts. Serving in a couple different ways. There are two different types of gifts, the speaking gifts and then non-speaking gifts. So these are very important gifts that we have to understand. And so the first series of gifts, the sign gifts, again, to validate the gospel message during the first century. But then there are the serving gifts. There's the speaking gifts. That's done in a more public way. Teaching and evangelizing, these types of gifts. Then there are the help gifts, the gift of mercy, a number of these different serving gifts. And even though we would use these gifts in a speaking way privately, I mean, there's still conversation that takes place, but the primary emphasis of these gifts are to serve the Lord's people. And so there are helps and there's mercies and a number of different gifts. Again, the four major passages, and I realize who I'm speaking with here, those who have a measure of the understanding of the Word of God, that there are four main passages that cover the gifts in the New Testament. They're pretty easy to remember. Romans chapter 12, that's a 12, chapter 12, Romans chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Then Ephesians 4, and then 1 Peter 4. Those are the four main passages that deal with these gifts. And again, they have different purposes and different functions, but it's a good little memory device there. Four different major sections dealing with the gifts. Notice here in verse 4, it says there are diversities of gifts. So those are different types of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes these. Then it says in verse 5, there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. The idea behind the administrations is spheres of influence. We all have a sphere of influence. We all have a portion of the vineyard that God has entrusted to us. What is your sphere of influence? That's what's being referred to here in verse 5. Differences of administrations. God has put you where he has put you to be a blessing to him, to help build his church. You have an influence amongst a certain segment of the local fellowship. It's interesting for me, we've been involved in college and career ministry, we've been involved in children's work, we've been involved in ministry that involves seniors. It's interesting, my wife and I were commended back in 1993. And when we were commended, we had a number of different things that we're involved in. We're still involved in the same types of things. But it was interesting. I remember back, I think it was like 1995, we had a conference right here. Many of you know I'm involved in organizing different events. And we had an event right here at Greenwood Hills. And the intention of that conference that I organized that year was to reach out to the young people. Now, I have a measure of ministry amongst young people, but not a large portion. It's more older saints in the Lord. And I remember very plainly in my mind setting up the flyer. I had marketing in my background, so I was used to making flyers and mailing things out, all this in my background. I remember making this flyer up and asking the Lord to bless and mailing this thing out with the intention that I would see a whole bunch of young people show up at this conference. I said every little catchword in the copy of that flyer and everything else. 99% of the people that came to that were over 70 years old. And I said, how did that happen? And all I came away with in conclusion is this. The Lord wanted me to minister to this segment of people. I tried as much as I wanted to try to have a young people's conference. When I mailed it out, that's who responded. And that happened more than once. And then I came to the conclusion that it was God who was taking this ministry that we have entrusted, is receiving the ministry that God has given to us, and the open doors that He's provided. And He's showing that very clearly in my thinking when this thing took place many times. And God has given that to you too. You might have a particular ministry to youth, or a particular ministry to older saints in the Lord, or to the sick, or to somebody who is young in the faith that needs to be grounded. That's the work of the Lord in distributing to you those gifts at a particular sphere or arena of ministry. And so there are differences of administrations in verse 5. And the key thing is not to spend all your time trying to do something else when God has clearly opened that door for that ministry in your life. And then in verse 6, it says there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God who worketh all in all. Now, when I read that verse, you can see the Trinity there referred to, right? The same Spirit in verse 4, the same Lord in verse 5, and the same God in verse 6. Very clear, obvious implication there of the Trinity, the truth of the Godhead at work. All three are involved in it. But here in verse 6, there's diversity as operations. The sense behind that is there's a varying strengths of ministry. Someone has a tremendous gift of evangelism, but they like evangelism door-to-door or individually with different people. Personal evangelism. Others have a tremendous amount of strength and ability to evangelize in a larger arena, a stronger power. There's a measure of the gift of Christ, we read. Over in Ephesians chapter 4, if you just turn that for a second, Ephesians chapter 4, it says, but unto every, verse 7, but to every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So He doles out the measure of our gift. That's the differences of or diversities of operations. So the point is, we all have spiritual gifts. They're all to be used for the glory of God. They are in different arenas. They are different types of gifts. And they have different strength levels. You know, some of us will use microwave. That's the new thing these days. But that's how it's done. You know, I remember hearing a message from a radio preacher, and his illustration was, you could hear it on the radio, I didn't see it, but he holds up a pot. He says, remember these? This is how we used to cook our meals, you know. And he's showing a pot, you know, this frying pan or something like that. We all do microwaving. Well, remember microwaves? They have power strength levels on them. There's 70 power and 80 power and 90 power. And that's what God has done with us. He's given us certain abilities. 1 Peter chapter 4 tells us in verse 10 and verse 11, as verse 10 I quoted, verse 11 tells us, if any man minister, let him minister as of the oracles of God, to the ability which God giveth. God wants us to operate for His glory to work for His glory according to the sphere He's given us and put us into, according to the ability that He's given to us. And it should never excuse us from exercising our gift. If we see someone do it better, or in a larger arena, to say, well, my gift doesn't really matter. God has you in a certain place for a certain reason to reach a certain person or people. And the great illustration of this is Philip the evangelist there in Acts chapter 8. He was having a successful gospel campaign up to the north, right? And the Spirit of God redirects his steps and he says, I want you to go down to the road which is in Gaza, that is desert. Taken there to one individual, an Ethiopian eunuch. And so God has, He directs our path. And He may use us in a larger arena sometime and a smaller arena in another. I've used this illustration before, and you know, teaching on the tabernacle, you get some tremendous lessons, as you know. If any of you were here on the second family conference during the summer months, Randy Amos had, you know, the large pulpit on that week. You know, he had the tabernacle scale, you know, model of the tabernacle. Well, I had the privilege of having one of the sessions during that week. And one of the things I wanted to emphasize was about the cloud, that Shekinah glory. It says in the book of Numbers that when that cloud moved, the children of Israel moved. When it stopped, they stopped. And the language is pretty clear in the book of Numbers. If it was there for a month, they stayed there for a month. If it was just there for 2 days, and then that Shekinah glory moved, the whole nation of Israel moved as well. They had to move according to God's plan. God may have you in a certain area, and can you just think about this for a minute? You know, the children of Israel, they had packed everything up, you know, and moved all this material, all the material and the furniture of the tabernacle, moved someplace, they unpacked everything, and it was there, and 2 days later, God says, I want you to move. Well, God does that in our ministry too. He may have us focused on a certain area in our local assembly even, and then the following year he wants us to focus on something else. It's using our gift in a profitable way, following the Lord's leading. That's the point. Well, the Spirit controls, distributes, sets the location, and gives us the strength for our gift. It says in Proverbs chapter 18:16, a man's gift may make room for him. And so if you don't know what your gift is, you know, it's just a matter of just be involved in a local assembly. And that will become evident in what your spiritual gift is. Of course, there should be no flesh glory in God's presence. We're told that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 in verse 29. Very clear that we shouldn't have any self-glory. You know, it's not for personal benefit or personal gain when we have this gift. This is not natural talent. It's not something that you were born with. You had this ability, and all of a sudden, you know, or rather gradually, you just got better on. These are supernatural gifts endowed by the Holy Spirit for the benefit of the church. And so, therefore, it is not for personal glory or for gain. We have the account of Naaman the Syrian, you remember, in 2 Kings chapter 5. When he came up out of the Jordan the seventh time, and his flesh was like the flesh of a young child, he was joyous, wasn't he? It's a great picture of the new birth. What happened there? He was like a new person. And he was a Syrian. And he was really, you know, the one who took captive this little maid. This little maid had that wonderful, I don't know what you call it, sense of forgiveness. And she said, I know somebody in Israel who can help you with your leprosy. It's an amazing thing, the little things in the life of Elijah and Elisha, you know. And so in this case, it was Elisha. And when Naaman the Syrian afterwards was thinking about this, and he caught up with Elisha, it says he urged him to take a gift. He was so thankful, his heart was so overflowing, he wanted to give him money. And Elisha would not take it. He wanted to make sure it was a clear indication that he had nothing to do with it. It was God doing it. He wasn't in it for the money. So he wasn't going to get personal gain, or he wasn't going to get personal glory for it. So when we demonstrate our gift, or we exercise our gift in a local assembly, it's not because I have developed this gift, I've cultivated this gift, I've done something to help myself in this gift. You need to exercise your gift, but that gift has come to you from the Holy Spirit. And so it's something that we should not take any fame or glory for. Let's turn our Bibles to Romans chapter 12 as another reminder of this. Romans chapter 12. And it spells it out pretty clearly in this portion too. Romans chapter 12. Verse 3, for this I say, through the grace given unto me, there it is again, given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So there it is again. Every single person has a spiritual gift. There's a measure of faith. It's doled out in varying proportions. We should not think highly of ourselves, more highly than we ought to think. It's a grace that's received from the Lord. Verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Once again, proportion. Or ministry, let us wait on ministering. Or he that teaches on teaching, or he that exhorts on exhortation, he that gives, let him do it with liberality, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And so we need to be doing this according to the measure that God has given to us. And here again is this other list. The idea is humility in the service of the local assembly. Serving the Lord, humility is the thing that is utilized, is how God utilizes us to make sure that we make ourselves eligible for blessing and use of the Lord. In order to be effective in using our gift, as we read here in these verses, we need to be humble, but we also need to be clean as well. Let's turn our Bibles to another portion, 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, just a reminder about these as well. Again, this is a reminder ministry here. No question about that. But the question is, how can I use my gift effectively in the local assembly? I need to exercise humility. It's not because of what I am. God didn't look down and say, there's a perfect candidate for this gift. He just sovereignly uses us in that way, distributes these gifts. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are His, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and of some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and fit for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. I wonder sometimes if some people don't quite know what their spiritual gift is because they are not making full proof of their ministry. Paul said that to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4. What's that mean? Well, maybe there is something blocking the way so that God can't use you in the exercise of that gift. In other words, God has given you, the Spirit of God has given you a spiritual gift, but there's something blocking the path so that you can't use that gift to the fullest. That's the need for cleansing in our lives, just as 2 Timothy here is reminding us of. I mentioned last night that verse in Job chapter 17, verse 9, one of my favorite verses. The righteous shall hold on to his way, but he that hath clean hands will grow stronger and stronger. You know, if we don't depend on the Spirit of God in our service for the Lord, we could, at one time, give a tremendous message in front of a large crowd and feel the power of God flowing through us if we're a clean vessel. But if we're not a clean vessel, you can be shaking in your boots in front of a little teen group or a little Sunday school class. God gives you the power according to the strength you have, according to your clean hands and clean heart. So there's the challenge for us when we're thinking about using our gift profitably in the local assembly, is making sure that we're clean vessels, fit for the master's use. So Psalm 4, verse 3, the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. The idea is God's going to use you in a powerful way. And I'm sure of it, again, as I look across this audience, that you know when God is speaking through you. I mean, have you ever been in those situations? Maybe it's a witnessing situation someplace, in the marketplace, someplace out in public, and somebody mentioned something to you, or you saw, or your heart was burdened for an individual. And as you spoke to that individual, the verses were coming into your mind and out through your lips, and you know that you were being used of the Lord. You could sense the strength coming through. When you're in a situation where you've confessed your sin, whatever it might have been, you're living a life that is pleasing to the Lord, He's going to use you as a conduit for His blessing. Channels only, blessed Master, is what we sing. And the really sense the Lord using you in that powerful way is exhilarating, I'll tell you. And we want to be used of the Lord that way. But other times, if there's something between your soul and the Savior, then that's going to gum up the works, we might say. I remember years ago, we had a problem with a septic system in our yard. And my dad, I was a teen at the time, he says, you know, I need to dig a ditch out here and try to get this thing fixed. So I remember digging the ditch and getting a 6-foot trench all the way across, and it was a long ditch that went across the back of the yard. And he says, now just take this plumber snake here and just kind of pop it through the dirt here, and somewhere along the line we'll find this pipe that's all blocked up. And once we do it, then everything will be okay. So, you know, I was digging this ditch and taking this plumber's snake and poking it into the sand trying to find it. And I finally found it. Boy, when I broke through that garbage that was in there, it all came gushing out. But there was a free flow. And that's how it is in our lives as well. There might be something between our soul and the Savior. Not of this world's delusive dream is what the hymn says. And something blocking. What might it be? Is it bitterness? Is it resentment? Things that we mentioned last night. Is there something that I know that is not pleasing to the Lord? What needs to be dealt with and pulled out to make sure that we're clean before Him? So that He can use us in a way that we would want to see God's blessing. To help build His church. He's given us a spiritual gift or a number of spiritual gifts to accomplish that. But we have to be fit for the Master's use. So this is serious business. Every single one of us has been given a spiritual gift or more, as I mentioned. And He wants to use us for His glory. He wants us to use us effectively. He's put us in a certain area. He's given us certain abilities. He's given us certain types of gifts. And so we're to use that to the fullest. So again, Paul said to Timothy, make full proof of your ministry. Well, we are to, in order to be effective, we need to be clean. The further point I want to make regarding using our gift effectively is to not excuse ourselves from responsibility because we might think it's not our gift. Let me explain. You know, we have special meetings coming up in a meeting in a local assembly. And some of the brethren are burdened about going to the neighborhood and witnessing and telling people about the meetings, the upcoming meetings. And so you know how it is. You put the announcement out. No one responds to it except one or two people. I think we're all on the same page when it comes to that. But, you know, some people may excuse themselves. Well, I don't have the gift of evangelism, so therefore I'm not going to participate. I'm not really good at this. Well, that's not really evangelism. That's witnessing. We all have that responsibility. I mean, when Paul said to Timothy, do the work of evangelist, 2 Timothy 4, Timothy, you get the sense, was maybe on a little timid side at sometimes, but he was more of a pastor-teacher, Timothy was. And yet Paul said to him, do the work of evangelist. And because we may not have a spiritual gift in a certain area, it doesn't excuse us for demonstrating our responsibility to the Lord in terms of responsibility. In other words, we're all called to be witnesses and do the work of evangelism. There are all of us at times need to do certain teaching. All of us need to show mercy. All of us need to be giving. All the things that are listed in Romans chapter 12 that we just read, in 1 Peter chapter 4, the ability of ministering the word. All of us have that responsibility. It's just that someone who has a gift gravitates to that area naturally, or supernaturally, we should say. They have the strength. That's their strength. So they're going to go into that area. And this helps us understand then sometimes of how a local assembly functions. Some issue or situation may come up, and someone with this particular gift is going to focus on the opportunity in accordance with his gift. And someone with another gift will look at it from their angle. And they may not see it in the same way, but that's the diversity of the body of Christ. Every member working together for the glory of God. And so this is an important truth when we come across the idea of using our spiritual gifts effectively or profitably in a local meeting. And so it shouldn't excuse us from our responsibility. I was at a local assembly just this past Lord's Day. And a brother outside the meeting was standing there. He had a cane. He's not a real old brother, but he's been along in a number of years. And again, not an old fellow, but he had a cane because he had a problem with his leg. And so I asked the brother, I said, "How you doing? And how's it been going?" He says, "Well, I'm going to the doctor's tomorrow. I have diabetes, and they want to see if they need to amputate my toe because of the diabetes." And I says, "I'm sorry to hear that. And hopefully, that won't have to take place." He says, "Yeah, I'm really concerned about it." And you could see in his eyes, and you could sense in his spirit, he was unsettled about the whole matter, really burdened about it. His name is Bruce. I said, "Bruce, listen, why don't we just let's have a word of prayer right on the front steps of the meeting." And so we bowed our head in prayer and we talked with him. Now, I didn't really know him that well. And there's others in the meeting that could have done that as well. But I really sensed from the brother that he was in need of affirmation, in need of fellowship and prayer. You could just sense that coming from him. Now, whether that's my gift or not, I can't say, but it's my responsibility to share in prayer with those in a meeting that are going through burdens. All of us have that responsibility as well. So whether it was my gift or not, I knew this, it was my responsibility. So I just put my hand on his shoulder. I said, "Let's have a word of prayer." Now, there are people that were nearby, not right there. They were 6-7 feet away, something like that. But I'm sure they were observing these things. Just the fellowship in prayer and helping with another person's burdens. All of us have a responsibility. If you have a particular desire to see that take place all the time, I would say that's your gift. And so utilize your gift. Look for opportunities to exercise that gift in the assembly. And be creative about it. In Mark chapter 2, the man who was the paralytic was born by four, and they wanted to bring their friend to see Christ. And so they had to think of a creative way to do it. Well, the whole group was filled with people. And so they went up the roof and tore a hole in the roof. Who paid the bill? I don't know. After that account. But they were thinking of a creative way to bring their friend to Christ. So in some ways, we need to be creative too in how to exercise our gift. Think of different ways. There's another very plain and simple principle here. You have not because you ask not. We need to ask the Lord for opportunities to utilize our gift. Show us our gift. And then you utilize that. The Lord is our Father in heaven. He has an interest in us. And He wants us to use that effectively for Him. So we can call upon Him for His guidance and His leading. Well, one more thing we want to say in the time that remains, that we'll be rewarded for diligence and faithfulness in the exercise of our gift. Let's turn to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. And this is the parable of the pounds. It has nothing to do with weight loss. It has everything to do with service for the Lord. And just a brief minute, I want to do a comparison between this, the parable of the pounds in Luke chapter 19, and the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25. Now, a pound, or mina in the Greek, was a significant salary amount. The monetary unit was 3.5 months worth of salary. So just think of what your salary was at your best salary days that you had. 3.5 months worth of salary. And it says in verse 11, as they heard these things, this is after the conversion of Zacchaeus, He hadn't spoke a parable because he was near to Jerusalem because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. And he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered to them 10 pounds and said to them, occupy or do business till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. So the idea, he had 10 servants, each one got a mina, and what would be the production? Well, the first one in verse 16, he says, came to the Lord and said, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. So he had a tremendous percentage increase. Verse 17, he said to him, well done, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. He was given one mina, he made 10, and because of his diligence and what was given to him, he earned 10 authority over 10 cities. The next one came, and he, verse 19, he said to him also, verse 18, the second came saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said to him also, be thou over 5 cities. Another came saying, Lord, here is thy pound which I've kept laid up in a napkin. I feared thee because thou art an austere man. He's just cutting excuses here. So we just drop down right here for sake of time. We have to finish up. But verse 23, why then, he said, gavest thou not me money in my bank, that at my coming I might have required it my own with interest? He said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound and give it to him that has 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he has 10 pounds. And the answer came back, for I say unto you, unto everyone who has shall be given, and from him that does not have, even that which he has shall be taken away from him. Opportunity always awaits for those who are willing to serve. As someone has said, you want to get something done, give it to a busy person, right? And so here's the case. And so each one was given the same amount of opportunity, but they used that in diligence, and they made, according to their diligence, in proportion to their diligence, they made a return on it. Some 10, some 5, some none. And their reward was commensurate to their production. That's diligence based on opportunity. All had the same opportunity, 1 pound or 1 mina, and they translated that into various amounts. Now turn for just a moment as we conclude. Matthew chapter 25. And here's the parable of the talents. Giving you all this material so you can take it back and ponder it through and apply it to your own situation. The parable of the talents begins at verse 14. In this case, there were different amounts given. This would represent more of the type of idea of gift versus opportunity in the parable of the pounds. Look with me at verse 14. The kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling in a far country, called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And to everyone he gave, to one rather, he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his ability. Just what we read in 1 Peter chapter 4. People have a different amount given to them, and they're responsible for the resources that were entrusted to them in accordance to the amount that was entrusted to them. And so, again, it's 5, 2, and 1. So, verse 18, he that had received one went and dug in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. So he that received 5 talents came and brought another 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside 5 talents more. He was given 5, he earned 5. Verse 21, the Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Not like the pounds parable that shows us different amounts, but just says in a general way, I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Verse 22, he also that received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you deliverest to me 2 talents. Behold, I've gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. Be faithful over a few things. Because you've been faithful over a few things, I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And of course, the other one, neither did he receive anything because he didn't earn anything. The point I'm trying to bring out in these two parables is this. One represents opportunity in Luke chapter 19. How diligent we are in our service for the Lord. Everyone's responsibility in terms of diligence. This one would correlate to the gifts and the measure of gift that each one of us have. God holds us personally responsible for the dispensing of that gift to whatever measure that we have. So with this one, five, and he earned five, and then he was rewarded for that according to the measure that was given to him. And God has given us a measure of gift, and he wants us to fulfill that ministry. Paul said to Archippus in Colossians 4, verse 17, be careful to fulfill your ministry. Something was stopping him from fulfilling that ministry. Maybe it was a personality issue. Maybe he was neglecting his gift. Paul said, neglect not the gift that is in thee. Maybe he needed that gift stirred up. Maybe that's your situation. Maybe it's mine. Maybe there's someone in the local assembly that needs to be encouraged to help them identify their gift and to use it for God's glory. So these two parables are a great case study in the use of our gifts and the proportion that God has given to us, and diligence, what I call diligence, in the day of salvation. God has given us spiritual gifts. They're sovereignly distributed to us in different amounts. That makes us a different group, same group with same goals, the glory of God, but different areas of ministry, different spheres, different power levels, if you will. And God has done this so that he would build his church. And he will reward us according to the way that we have utilized these for his glory, for his honor. That's a whole other account with crowns that he rewards us with in a future day. We trust that this will help us understand a little bit about using our gifts in a profitable sense in the local assembly. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you again for these words. Lord, so many things that we could say about this topic and so little time, but we pray, Father, that you would help us to understand the responsibility that we have to utilize the gifts that you have given to us for your glory, for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who said, I will build my church. He uses us to do that, to accomplish that. So we pray, Father, that we would understand what our sphere of ministry is, and not to be discouraged when we perhaps see something done in other people that is in a broader way, bigger way, whatever it might be. We realize, Lord, that you are the one that controls these things. You are the one that superintends these things. And so we pray, Father, you'd help us to understand your working in the local assembly. We'll give you all the honor and glory and the praise. In Christ's name, amen.